Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When I am in need of a friend to stick close by my side, when there's no place to go to escape from the problems of life, you offer safety no one else could provide. Sing with me.
Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy. You satisfy my every longing inside. You wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry. You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life.
Thank you for it, Jesus.
Jesus, you satisfy.
Although there are times when nothing seems to go right, you've always been there to help me get through the night.
Whatever I've needed, you were right there to provide.
Amen.
Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy.
Hallelujah.
You satisfy my every longing inside. Wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry. You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life. Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy.
Thank you, Lord.
You satisfy my every longing inside. And you wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry. You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He does. He satisfies. Amen. For a moment, while we're still rested and we're not real tired, let me look at something here with you in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's a passage of Scripture that we've heard often and we've talked about. And I want to briefly also mention something in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But Paul writes to the church at Corinth in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And in this chapter, he uses the word charity according to the King James Version of the Bible. But that word charity in many versions is the word, the original word is the word for love, perfect love. And so I'm going to use, even though I'm reading out of the King James Bible, I want to use the word love because that's what this word is interchangeable with. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, or another way I could read this, when love is come, because this whole passage is about perfect love. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You may ask, when is then? When perfect love comes. That's what this whole chapter is about. Now we see through a glass darkly. Amen. But when perfect love comes, we see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And you see, Paul often wrote about the struggle between flesh and spirit. He talked about in many passages how that he himself sometimes wrestles with that which he would do and that which he should do. And sometimes people try to interpret his writings. But if you just take it as it is, the Bible is very simple to read. We don't have to make it deeper than it is. God didn't mean for you to have to be a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, or have 8 years of college for you to be able to comprehend what he's saying. He's big enough, God, to break things down small enough so that you can understand him. Amen. And what Paul is saying here is now, you know, in this time of all these things happening in our lives, so many perplexing situations, problems to deal with, and all the things that we go through, we need something that we can count on. And now we see, you know, now we see. And sometimes he's talking as now in the flesh we see things a certain way. But when perfect love has come, it makes it all right. You know, you can start knowing a whole lot more than just what you know when you think with your own thoughts and feel with just your feelings. When perfect love has come, there's something about perfect love. Everybody say, there's something about love that makes everything better. You can be seated. And at the end of this, you notice he said the greatest of these is love. But why was he talking about the greatest of these? He was talking about faith. And he was talking about hope. It's hard to imagine anything being greater than faith. It takes faith to be saved. It takes faith to recover yourself from whatever mess you get yourself into. It takes faith to build skyscrapers. It takes knowing where you're going, or at least thinking you know where you're going, having a plan. And even though you don't see what shall be, you work as though it's already there. That takes a lot of faith. You know, Noah prepared his boat for the saving of his household because he had heard from God. And he loved his family. And he loved God. And he obeyed God and built a rescue ship. And his family was saved. But when he was building it, he was not basing everything he was doing on past circumstances. It never had rained before, according to the Word of God. It never had been a time of flooding on the earth that required a ship for you to be able to survive. This is the first time. It took him several years to build that boat, but he was looking at something not seen as yet, because he had heard from a God that somehow he had learned to listen to. And if you can learn to listen to this God, he always speaks to you in tones of love. And if you can find that love of God, which is perfect all the time, you can always find hope. If you can find the love of God in your life, no matter what you're going through, it's a whole lot easier to exercise faith. Because without the love, you may not be able to find the faith. Without the love, you may not be able to find any hope to hold on to. But when you don't think you've got a friend in the world, when it seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, we need to try to stop ourselves and maybe just consider for a moment God. The Bible says, and I believe the Bible when it says this, God is love. God is love. Now, some people try to, you know, twist that up a little bit. They say, well, if I love somebody, it means I'm like God. Well, see, there are all kinds of meanings of love, and a lot of people try to use maybe some words in the Bible to justify some lifestyles. If it feels good, it has to be God. If you love me like I love you, and we feel toward each other like we do, this has to be God. That's not always God. We're not talking about something that has to do with a lot of feelings or attractions of human beings one to another. We're not talking about relationships with people to people. We're talking about something here that's perfect. We're talking about God. And God is love. So the greatest of these three is love. Amen. Amen. It took faith to frame the worlds. Hebrews 11th chapter. Let's turn to that just for a moment. Hebrews 11th chapter. It took faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Who made the world? It was God. Thank you, Jesus. But God Himself uses faith to make all things. But this God who made the world loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we look back at the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And God is calling on us through His apostles' writing to the church at Corinth to do something that God Himself is doing for all of us. He's asking and instructing us through the Apostle Paul. No matter how much you speak in tongues, no matter how much you have the gift of prophecy, no matter how much you know, no matter who you are, and no matter how much you've accomplished in life, the most important thing going on in your life is love. He's saying to us, no matter how much faith you're able to exercise, and no matter how far you may go in the ministry or in the work of God, the greatest asset in your life is love. And so God instructs us through His apostle to be patient, because God is patient. Love suffereth long. In other words, puts up with a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff sometimes is there. And we could all tell the story about how somebody has wronged us. Somebody has let us down. Somebody has disappointed us. Things didn't go like we thought they would. Life can be miserable sometimes, but yet God loves us. And what He's saying to the church, this is a letter from Paul to the church at Corinth. This is not just words thrown out for the whole world to read. Because not if you're not in the church, you can't really read this and live up to it. What we need is the love of God that will perfect us and adjust us and make us able to obey the Word of God. Because I don't have what this is instructing me to have without God's love doing this in my life. But He's telling us through the apostle that we need to do something that God Himself does for us. Amen. He's saying that love suffereth long and is kind. God is very kind to us, isn't He? Love envieth not. It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. If you read in the Gospels the life of Jesus Christ, you see Him as a humble, lowly servant, even got down on his knees and washed the hands of Judas, knowing that this would be the man to betray him. Amen. That's love. That's patience. That's being not puffed up. Not saying, hey, I'm holier than you. Being willing to become a servant to others is what God showed us He is doing for us. You know, God doesn't want you to think of Him as somebody up here with a ball bat going to beat you in the head every time you goof up. Rather, He sees your enemy as being those things that are trying to tear your life apart, the things of darkness, the things of the devil, the things of wickedness, the things of evil. He sees all of that as your enemy and His enemy, and He wants to rescue you from all of that. And He uses patience, love, kindness, endurance, putting up with a lot of stuff, and always being there, no matter what kind of a mess you make out of things. And He's ready to receive you now. And God is a friend. He's a friend. I'm telling you, God is a friend. We blame God for a lot of things sometimes, and of course He is ultimately responsible for all things that go on in our lives. We have a lot of things going on we don't always understand. People are always saying, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, and all these questions come. But I'm not God. I don't have all the answers. But I know somebody that has all the answers and is the answer for all things. And until we get to a place where we put away all this world and all this trash and all this junk we go through, we just need to trust God and know that He's good. Would you just worship Him for a moment? Thank you, Jesus. Because if I don't have hope, I'm miserable. I don't want to go through life with no hope. And if I can't believe in something, what's the use of living? If I can't have something to look forward to that's going to be better than the way it was. But you know what? I believe we can still have faith. And we can still have hope because we still have God. And God is love. Thank you, Jesus. And God says, love does not behave itself unseemly. You've never seen God being foolish. God is always good. And no matter what's going on, if you need a rock to lean on, He'll be there. If you need a foundation to stand on, He'll be there. When everything is going wrong, He's still going right. You can call on Him and find salvation when you can't hold on to anything else. Thank you, Jesus. It does not behave itself unseemly. No matter what kind of joking's going on, no matter how many fun and frivolous things are going on, no matter how you may be dancing at some party, but in your heart you're grieving and something's going on. Maybe nobody else knows about it but you. God is not going to give up on you, and God is not going to hide from you. God is going to be there, and He's not going to behave Himself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. God is not one to only go after church people and only bless you. There is one scripture that says that the great shepherd, talking about Jesus Christ, or our Lord, will go after one person that's lost. It's a lesson about the shepherd and the sheep. But He'll go after that one lost sheep. And it talks about how there's so much rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner that needs to come to repentance than 99 just persons that have no need of repentance. Meaning, it's not meaning that you don't have a need to repent. It's just saying these people are already okay. They've already got things worked out with God, have a relationship with God. Amen. God is interested in going after somebody that doesn't have it worked out yet. He's not going to, you know, it doesn't mean He hates you. He's not turning against you. He's not going to cease to be your friend. He promises through Jesus Christ that He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. But while we're still praising Him and having a big time, we're okay. There's that hurting one out there somewhere. Amen. And He's out there while we're having a good time, dealing with a heart, showing no matter how bad it is, it can still be better, giving some hope. No matter how awful things may be, you can still have a reason to believe it's going to get better. Offering some faith. How is He going to do it? Well, we see Him with a multitude. Here they go. They're walking along, and all of a sudden, somebody cries out, I'm in trouble. I'm in pain. I'm having a problem. In fact, I've got leprosy. And this person has been saying to all people, depart from me. Stay away from me. I'm a leper. I'm unclean. But here comes Jesus Christ. And he looks to Jesus because the news is spread now. Word of mouth has gotten it out that this man is a good man. He goes about doing good. He heals people. He sets people free. He does miracles. God is with him. And so he says to the leper, or the leper says to Jesus, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. That was then. That was a long time ago. That was a leprous man a long time ago. But there's a lesson in it. Many times in the scripture, leprosy is referred to as a type of sin. In other words, it's not saying leprosy is sin, but leprosy, the word leprosy and leper. These words are used many times in lessons to talk about the situation of being a sinner, the condition of having sin in your life. Amen. If you got sin in your life, and we all know what that's all about. I don't think there's anybody in here that hasn't been a sinner at one time or another. I've witnessed some of it with my own eyes from time to time. Long time ago, of course. But I think we all have dealt with sin in one measure or another. Amen. And so in God's eyes, as we look at all these lessons about leprosy, we are a danger to those around us if we are just walking around contaminated with sin and we don't find something to hold on to that gives us hope that we can get out from under this load of sin, this guilt of sin. If we don't find the faith that it takes, that's necessary to grab a hold of something to help us get rid of sin in our lives, because we can't, any of us boast, we can't boast that we haven't sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned. But God is a God of love. And it's not that He justifies our sins, but He justifies the sinner if that sinner will accept His love. Thank you, Jesus. God has a way of looking past the fault and seeing the need. He has a way because of His love, even though you're as a leper, unclean, and you're a danger to those around you, as seeing what He is willing to do. And I don't care who you are, what you've done, or what you've been involved in. If you will do what that leprous man did in the Gospels that we read about, and just start saying, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. You'll get the same response that leper got. God will say unto you, I will be clean. And you don't have to clean yourself up. Brother Johnny, you don't have to clean yourself up. I don't have to clean. I don't know how to clean myself up. I don't know any way to come clean out of sin other than just let the One that loves me enough to say that there's hope for me, if I can have some faith, let Him do whatever He's got available to make me clean. There was no way that leper could make himself not be a leper. His only hope was in the One that said, I will be thou clean. The only way that he could be clean is to believe the One that was speaking to his heart. And something had caused him to say, if You will, You can make me clean. You know, it's good to go to church because here you can find hope as you listen to words like these. You might be able to grab hold of faith. Some of us sometimes get so involved in so many things, we almost tend to forget that there is such a thing as hope and faith. Because so much stuff is going on. We got so many things to think about. And it's not all good stuff. But God is still good. God is still able to get us through these things. And He doesn't rejoice in iniquity. But He rejoices in truth. And that's what He wants us to do. Hey, look, somebody maybe deserved to get what they had coming to them. You know, they got it. You've been expecting it because they've been doing bad. Boy, they got their fair share, didn't they? They had it coming. That's a bad attitude. If you claim to be a church person, if you love God, if you're serving God, there's no more important lesson in the Word of God than this lesson about love. Thank You, Jesus. You can't have the Holy Spirit in your life without love. You can't go to heaven unless you love everybody, even your mother-in-law, even those that have done you wrong, even those that have disappointed you. I mean, who would I be? I'm getting out of here. Who would I be? Who would I be to not be able to love somebody that did me wrong? As I look back to how I was when God rescued me, I wasn't all that perfect when God said, come here. So I could be out there pointing my finger and say, look at that one. Look what he did. Look what she did. Look how they are. Look what they are. Oh my, isn't that awful? I'm glad I'm a church person. Thank You, Jesus. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. The truth is, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't shed His blood because we were all good. He shed His blood because we had all failed. Thank You, Jesus. He gave His life not just because He wanted us to be impressed on how much He cared for us, but He gave His life because there was no hope for us. We were going down. We were no good. We had failed. And we're talking about things that happened a long time ago. But the things that had happened were the result of sin in this world. Adam had sinned and messed up the entire population from his point forward. and all have sinned and come short. There is no hope unless somebody bigger than us loves us. Thank you, Jesus. But that cross provided hope for the sinners. If we can have faith, if we can believe the word of God that says, I love you. To hear some people speak and teach and preach, the way the attitude comes across sometimes, it seems like God is a God of hate. God is a God that wants to get vengeance on you, or especially on those that you don't like. You know, I've heard these people say, bless God, if you don't listen to me, and if you don't do this, and if you don't do that, you're going to split hell wide open. You know, when I hear that, something in my heart says, that's not right. And I'm not here to judge anybody. But I don't think God wants us to be bulldogs barking at each other. I think God loves us enough. In the scripture, in Revelation, it refers to angels. The angel at the church of Smyrna. The angel at the church of Pergamos, and all these angels, the angel of the church of Philadelphia. But what those angels are, as we read about it, these are the pastors of the church. And I don't believe that the pastors of the church that God sees as his angels in the pulpit should manifest any more than just the love of God that brings hope and faith. Amen. But you know, even with hope and faith, God is a stern God. Even with love, God is a strict God. Even with all the love that God has and God is a God who expects all things to be done His way, according to His instruction. And so when God gives instruction, He expects obedience. Thank you, Jesus. And He gives us the ability to make the choice. Will I listen or will I not? Somebody said to me some time ago when I was trying to hold on to my daughter years ago. I didn't want her. She was growing up. And I didn't want her to leave me. I wanted her to stay with me the rest of her life. You know, I wanted my little baby. I mean, I remember when she was just that short, just a little bitty thing. And I watched her grow up a little bit and get a little taller. I watched her learn to walk, learn to play the piano, learn to sing. Watched her go to school, watched her flirt with men, and you know, all that stuff, you know. You just don't want to see these things happen. And then there came the time she wanted to go, wanted to leave. I didn't want to let her go. I thought, you know, she'd been with me all this time. I want my daughter to stay with me. And somebody said to me, you know, true love is being willing to let her go. It was hard for me to receive, but that's what they said to me. True love is a willingness to let them go. Praise God. That's what Jesus did for all of us. That's what God has done for the human race. Giving you the ability to go if you want to. But He's also got the ability to give you a better home if you want a better home. And a better life if you want a better life. And hope when there seems to be no hope. He rejoices not in iniquity, but He rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things. I've seen some people say, I'm a Christian. And others say, no, you're not. You know, have that old attitude. No, you're not. Yeah. You know, but if we're able to take these instructions from the Lord, why not just go ahead and believe it? You know, it could be if somebody's saying, I'm a Christian, that God is making a Christian out of that person. Why put doubt where God is putting faith? Why add hopelessness with an attitude or with words when God is bringing hope? Because if God starts a person on a journey toward heaven, God is able to finish the job. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So if somebody just acknowledges God in my life, if they say I'm a Christian, go ahead and believe it. Unless you just want to, you know, be contrary and be a brat, say, oh, hey, it takes this to be a Christian, it takes that to be a Christian. You got to do this, you got to do that. You got, you know, this is all it takes. You don't have to do this. We can all be guilty of being troublemakers in the kingdom of God if we don't manifest the love of God. And this Holy Ghost is God's love shed abroad in our hearts. And the reason it's shed abroad is so that others who have not experienced it can find hope and find faith. Thank you, Jesus. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Notice those ETHs at the ends of these words. Beareth means continue to bear these things, all things. Believeth, continue to believe all things. Keep on believing. Hopeth all things. I mean, just keep on hoping. Even when they seem to be hopeless, hope again. Endureth all things. Ah, we've seen them go through this before. Let them go through it again. Be there. God was there for us. How many times did you mess up before you found out He's still there? How many times did you keep coming to Him with the same old story? Lord, I repent, and this is me again. Same old thing. I did it again. I know I told you last time I wouldn't do it anymore. And time before that, and before that, and before that, before that, before that, before that. But this time, I really mean it, only to fail again. And yet, the next time we came back, He said, "Welcome back, my child. I'm here for you. Let's start new. Let's start fresh. Let's put the past behind us. Walk with me. Let me be your friend. Let's get a new beginning started here. Let's just cast all that away as if it never happened. No matter how many times you failed, the sun still comes up in the morning. God is still on the throne. No matter how many times it seemed like there was no hope, God is still a God of love with hope in His love. God is still a God of love with faith built into His love. Praise God. God is still a God of love when nobody else loves you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad God was not my Uncle Ted. Uncle Ted could look you in the eye and be stealing your wallet at the same time, saying, "I love you." Uncle Ted could go to his most lovable relative, and while they weren't looking, could steal all their credit cards and still sit around and hug them and love them and buy them gifts, not knowing he was buying their gifts on their own credit cards. Uncle Ted could run up telephone bills so high that nobody could pay them. And it didn't matter how much you loved him. He was a lovable guy. Anybody he worked for could, you know, would have a story later. "I've been robbed." That was Uncle Ted. He went into a church in Chicago, and the church needed a Sunday school superintendent. And Uncle Ted gave them the story that he had been superintendent in the church he just came out of. No truth to it at all. And they put him in immediately without checking to see. And he said, "I can help you break the attendance record of this church." They all loved him, and he loved them. He loved them so much that he wanted to do whatever it takes to break the attendance record of that church family. And he started a bicycle contest and announced that on certain Sunday, the person that brought the most people to that church would get this brand new bicycle. And they had the record-breaking attendance on the same day that Uncle Ted was arrested for stealing bicycles. Amen. I'm glad God's not like Uncle Ted. Thank you, Jesus. I can think of a lot of other people. I'm glad God's not like some of those that have betrayed me through the years. Made me think they cared, only I caught them. They were stealing, lying, cheating. And I needed something that gave me more hope than that. I needed something I could believe in. I needed something that I could have some faith in. And here came Jesus. I heard somebody testify, somebody sing, somebody preach, somebody teach. I even watched somebody just how they lived, and I saw a message coming through. I heard it loud and clear. There's a God somewhere that loves somebody. And I'd like to get in on this. I'd like to get in on this kind of love that gives you some hope. This kind of love that gives you some faith. This kind of love that endures when you mess up. This kind of love that keeps on understanding when you can't understand. This kind of love that says, come on back, let's start again. Even though you don't feel like you're worthy to go back and start again. This kind of love that makes you able to finally get it right. Because he just won't stop helping you as long as you ask for his help. Thank you, Jesus. And I'll bring this quickly to a close. Almost through. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Never fails. It uses the word faileth. Never faileth. Which means it love never fails as you continue to need that to be there. It's there. Again and again and again. Even when you're down on your face saying, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I've messed up, I'm no good, I am really in trouble. Love will not fail this time either. I don't care what it is. There is an enemy. It's in your thoughts. It's just in the air. It's just your friends, many of them, they may not really be your friends. But they will tell you what a loser you are. They will let you know. They're fast to let you know there is no hope for you. They just give up so easily because most people don't really know what this kind of love is all about. Most people have conditional love. I'll love you if you love me, but boy, if you mess up, hey, I'll never speak to you again. That's not the kind of love we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about the kind of love. If you mess up, God'll keep loving you. You mess up again, he's going to keep on loving you. Mess up again, he still loves you now. Mess up again, he still loves you now. Hallelujah, just going to keep on loving you. So, if you really understood what I'm trying to say tonight, it's more difficult, if you know these things, for you to be lost than it is for you to be saved. It's more difficult for you to be lost and be a sinner and go to hell than it is for you to be a saved child of God on your way to heaven. Because if you know this stuff, you know that all you got to do to get set free and to get rescued and start life all over again and be made fresh and new, no matter what you have gone through, that you can be brought up to this high position of love and freedom and forgiveness again. But that old enemy, he just keeps coming and just keeps pounding into our brain. You can't make it. You're a failure. You've messed up one time too many. Forget it. Give up. That never comes from God. May come from your own thoughts. You may be so reprobate minded that you can't even think a positive thought. But that never comes from God. Thank you, Jesus. Even if you're a reprobate minded person, if you can read the truth and believe it, you can get yourself into this whosoever will may come crowd. And even if you don't feel it and you don't think you're worthy and you don't think God will even hear your prayers, call on him anyhow. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Call on him anyhow. No matter how many times you've failed him, call on him anyhow. No matter how many times you let yourself down, let your family down, let God down, call on him again. Thank you, Jesus. Wave your hands to him just a little bit. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I praise God. I believe in speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues. God speaks through me. He gives the utterance at certain times in my blessings when I'm praising God, talking to God. But this is not a church where we tell you that you better speak in tongues or else. That's not the attitude here. We're kind of like a shoe store. You want to go get a pair of shoes? Praise God. Nice shoes. Many times when you look at those shoes and that's just what you want, you walk out with the shoes in your hand. When you get home, you notice they've got the tongues. The tongues come with them. When you start calling on God sometimes, you may not even know it's available to you. But God has a way of just talking to His people sometimes because God has a communication system that sometimes He gives utterance. But don't start lifting yourself up and puffing yourself up because God blessed you so much that you could speak in tongues. There's so many people don't even know what it is to feel loved. They need to experience this love. And when you're speaking in tongues has vanished away, when you stop speaking in tongues, you need to come down from where you've been with God and get on this earth on your 2 feet and find somebody that you can show love to. Because tongues shall cease, but love continues. Thank you, Jesus. Knowledge shall vanish away, but love continues. Thank you, Jesus. And that all has ceased. When your tongues have ceased, when your prophecies have failed, when knowledge has vanished away, then we need to look again at the greatest thing available.
Hallelujah.
Love.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about the childish ways of humanity. Sometimes childish thinking is to think God doesn't love me anymore. And that's the way we thought when we was a kid. You know, something went wrong. You don't love me. If you love me, you tell me you love me. You know, I haven't heard you say you love me in a long time. You got another girlfriend and you got another boyfriend. I don't love you anymore. You stole my marble, so I hate you. You know, just kid stuff. You know, but now that we've gotten past all that, we need to start understanding that these childish things, that shouldn't enter into our thoughts here. We see now through a glass darkly, but when that perfect, precious love is in our lives, we see face to face. I can look you in the eye. You can look me in the eye. And there's no guilt. There's no guilt. There's no shame. Amen. I shall know, even also as I am known. I should be able to look at you, clear eyes, open eyes, confident smile, knowing that you're telling me the truth, and I'm telling you the truth, and God knows that we're being truthful with each other. Why? Because that love of God that rescued me, rescued you. That love of God that picked me up, picked you up. And now abideth, continues on. Faith, praise God. Hope. If you're able to stand up and say, some of these days I'm going to be a better Christian than I am now. That's faith and that's hope. Thank you, Jesus. One of these days, I'm going to experience this baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's faith. That's hope. But remember, something is abiding now. Faith, hope, and love now abideth. And the greatest of these is the kind of church you go to. No. I get so sick of people saying, what kind of church is this? I'm tired of trying to figure out answers. I want to be able to say it's a church filled with love. But sometimes I hesitate to do that, especially when they tell me what they just went through with some of the people that maybe have visited here from time to time. Or it's amazing how that when folks ask about somebody that is on their mind, they pick out somebody that causes trouble a few years ago, maybe you're no longer around, can't be found, living out there in a cesspool of sin somewhere. So how's so-and-so? And they don't look at all the people that are abiding in love. They want to know about those that are not. Let me ask me about how's it going with this brother and sister that has been going to church faithfully, supporting and worshiping and praising God and calling on God. How's it going with them? They never ask those questions. It's some boozer, loser, womanizer. How's that one doing? And I can't speak for them. Ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing great. And I love you. And I want to be your friend. And I want to take some time to let you know this is not artificial. I'm not faking it. God wasn't artificial with me. When I needed help, He was there. When I was down, He was still lifting me up. When I was hurting, He was healing me. When I was afraid, He gave me some confidence and a reason not to be afraid anymore. When I was a loser, He brought me up and made me a winner. When I was going the wrong direction, He turned me around. And all I know to do is manifest that kind of love as I look you face to face, eye to eye, and let you know there's still some hope in this place. And we got some faith to believe this Saturday get-together we're having that is now resulting in some people coming around on Sundays is going to reap a harvest of souls that are tired of walking the streets of Norwich, living under the bridges, and having to live from handout to handout. These people on our streets are just as important as any king in any palace on the face of the earth. These people on the streets of Norwich are just as lovable to God as anybody in your family, in your house. They're as important and needed in the kingdom of God just as much as anybody in this place tonight. So we're not just feeding them on Saturdays in order to let them know we do that too. It's not just Catholic Charities. This is not a competition thing. We appreciate Catholic Charities. We appreciate the soup kitchen. We appreciate the Salvation Army. We appreciate any good thing anybody does for anybody. But we want to be a place here on this street also that tells a doubt and outer, there's some hope for you. There's some hope for you. And behind that needs to be some love. Offering that hope. Behind that needs to be some faith saying we're going somewhere. God is going to bless this community. Not just because it's our church. Not just because we're some label that you want to put on us. But because we really do love you, Norwich. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. We really do love these people. And God has loved us, and we should love others as we have been loved. That's why sometimes we are very, very observant of anything that would interfere, anything that would try to bring pressures, any visitor that might come along and try to cause havoc or maybe some kind of division or some kind of restlessness. Because of disagreements and thoughts, maybe not going along with the way things are. I'm not saying this for one person in particular. We've seen this dozens of times. And sometimes we have to take a strong stand. But that's not because we hate an individual. The strong stand is the same stand God takes. He loves everybody, but not everybody's going to enter into His kingdom. Not everybody's going to enjoy eternal peace and happiness, but God loves us all, but it's possible that we can be cast out. And if we have to, we'll cast somebody out, but it's not because we hate the person, it's because it's so unruly, they want to tear us all up. And we're trying to show love to everybody. Thank you, Jesus. We're not here to hurt anybody, we're here to receive anybody that wants to be loved. Let's praise God together. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. God is so good. I kind of wound up tonight because I've been having a lot of conversations, been in some prayer, had some things on the internet happening. I met a lot of people that I hadn't known before, and a lot of words spoken, a lot of questions, a lot of thoughts. And the bottom line of it all is I'm finding out the more they are loved, the easier it is to find some hope. And faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, what kind of church are you? Love. If you can't say that, ain't no need to call us anything else because it's not going to show that. It's nothing. That scripture could have gone right on. You know, I speak in tongues like angels, tongues of angels. Have not love, I'm nothing. But if you're Pentecostal, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, whatever you want to call yourself, and you don't have love, you're nothing. If you drive a new car and you don't have love, you're nothing. If you're rich and you don't have love, you're nothing. Amen. We are nothing if we don't love others. Somebody said, you got to love me if you're going to go to heaven. Well, that attitude showed a lack of something. I don't got to love anybody. I get to love everybody. It's not a pressure on me to love you. Thank you, Jesus. It's a privilege. Because he first loved me. And the least I can do is bear with you, be patient with you, long-suffering with you, endure with you, believe you, accept you. And when you try to steal from me, hey, I may guard you a little bit. And I may put some perimeters around you. And I may say, don't do that. But I will love you till the end. As that fly hits me one more time, I'm going to kill him. Amen. But I don't love flies, I love you. Amen. Let's all gather around the front, if you will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Flies swarm the preacher here for some reason. When he's got a hold of something that's pure, something that's wonderful, something that's great. I'm not saying the flies have power, and I'm not even saying the devils are using the flies. I'm just saying distractions come. Distractions come when the message is important. This is an important message tonight. For you to know that you are loved. And there's hope now abiding. And faith now abiding. Because of love. Means that you got every reason, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, and how much you thought it was over. You got every reason to start praising him with all your heart. Start praising God with all your heart. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his patience. Thank him for his kindness. Thank him for his long suffering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving your life on the cross for me. Thank you, Lord, for reaching down further than I could reach up. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for caring enough about me that you even know the number of the very hairs of my head. Thank you that you know my frame. Thank you for knowing that we are dust and yet you have made us to be sons of God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You love him today? We sing that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus, because he first loved me. There's a lot of truth in that song. Ain't no way we could love him if he didn't love us first. Thank you, Jesus. He puts that love, ability to love, inside us. He loved us so much that he made us able to love him back. Thank you, Jesus. But we still choose whether or not to do that. Let your choice be to love Jesus. You'll be a winner if you do. You'll come out victorious if you love him. If you accept his love and love him back, all the things it will take for you to make it will be found through faith and the hope that comes as a result of this love, where you and God can look face to face with nothing in between you. Nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong. then face to face. You will know as you are known. You will know that God is good. And he will know his goodness has set you free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a loving God we have. What a loving God we have. I think he's worthy to be worshipped. Praise tonight. Praise him. And don't look to me to entertain you. This is your loving night. This is your care. This is your hope. This is your faith. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anything going on right now that would stop you from being able to praise him for a couple of more minutes with all your heart? Is there any reason why you should hold back? Is there any reason why you should be quiet right now when we're calling for praise to God? Is there any reason to hold back and think about something else when at this moment you can praise him? Is there any reason for you to praise him quieter than you've ever praised him before? Is there any reason for you to hold back on this loving God? Or do you think you could spend at least 2 minutes giving it all you've got? Is he worthy of that? Thank you, Jesus. Is he worthy? Oh, why don't you just give it to him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.